Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying It's a New Day, a series on financial stewardship based on the Southern Baptist Convention seminar of the same name. In this session, we're looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Work is ministry. In a lifetime, the average person works 100,000 hours. This work carries some dissatisfaction. Understanding scriptural principles that relate to work will help you find satisfaction in your work. It will also place you in a position where the Lord can prosper you. God created work for man before sin brought a curse to creation. In the sinless environment of the Garden of Eden, the first thing God did with Adam was give him work, give him a job. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. After sin entered the world, through the fall of Adam, work became much more difficult. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 down to verse 19. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat. Well, what's God's perspective on work? Well, work is necessary. Exodus 34, verse 21. Work is so important that God gave this command in Exodus 34, 21. 6 days you shall work. And Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Work develops character. One of the primary purposes of work is to develop our character. While the carpenter is building a house, someone said, the house is also building the carpenter. His skill, diligence, manual dexterity, and judgment are refined. A job is not just a task to earn money. It's also intended to produce godly character in the life of the worker. Proverbs chapter 12, or Proverbs 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. We work for Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Scripture reveals that we're serving the Lord as we work. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Check your attitude. If you could see Jesus Christ as your boss, would you be more faithful in your job? Well, you do work for Christ, according to Scripture. Since we work for the Lord as we labor in the workplace, there are several responsibilities that we bear. Just consider a sampling of them. First, God's responsibilities in our work. God gives us the job skills. Exodus 36 and verse 1. Every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all the manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. God gives each person unique skills and talents. Scripture does not elevate any job occupation above another. There's a variety of jobs represented in the Bible. David was a shepherd and a king. Luke was a doctor. Lydia was a retailer of purple fabric. Daniel was a government worker. Paul was a tent maker. And Jesus himself was a carpenter. God gives us our success. Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3. Joseph is a good example of God helping a person succeed. In Genesis 39, verse 2 and 3, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. We have job responsibilities, but we need to realize that it is ultimately God who gives us any success we experience. God controls advancement. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. For exaltation or promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts or promotes another. As much as it may surprise you, people do not control whether you'll be promoted. The Lord controls your success and promotions. Second, our responsibilities in our work. We're to work hard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, the first part of it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. God's word condemns laziness, but it encourages hard work. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. But we're to not overwork. Wayne Oates, a longtime professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, introduced the world to the word workaholism. It was a word that he coined in a 1968 article for Pastoral Psychology. A more recent discussion of the subject helps us to further define the different types of workaholics. The identity workaholic. Work defines your life. So, your best energy is spent there. The perfectionist. Long hours are required to make every task flawless. Approval seeker. Work piles up because you fear saying no to other requests for your time and energy. Situational workaholic. Long hours are perceived as only a temporary situation that will soon pass. But you know what? There's always another situation looming out there. The escapist. Work provides an escape from painful relationships or other problems. And then the materialist. An insatiable desire for possessions drives you to increase your workload. Workaholism has many faces, but it's still work out of balance. Hard work should be balanced with other priorities. If your job demands so much of your time and energy that you neglect your relationship with Christ or loved ones, then you work too much. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. Is the Lord able to make 6 days of work more productive than seven? Well, yes. That's the answer. The Lord instituted weekly rest for our physical, our mental, and our spiritual health. We are to honor our employer. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Godly people always honor their superiors. Servants or employees, be submissive to your masters or your employers with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. We are to respect co-workers. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 10. Do not malign a servant or an employee to his master, his employer, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. We're to be honest. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, the first part of it. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. We're to be thankful. Daniel chapter 4, the second, chapter 6, verse 4, the second part of it. Because he, Daniel, was faithful. And we're to pray. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And knew, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So, go back and review our primary text for a moment. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Listen, commit to learn to view Jesus Christ as your boss and be faithful so that your employer and fellow employees will see Jesus in you. You think about all that, and you have a great day.